Strategies for a Spiritual Harvest, Chapter 8, Continued. The Tool. In the natural world, there are not only strategies for harvest and methods of using these strategies, there are also tools for harvest. The tools may vary from a simple sickle to complex machinery. God has also provided a tool for spiritual harvest. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. There are four important references to the word all in this passage. Believers are commissioned to teach all nations, all things. These duties are our responsibility. They are a summary of the vision of the harvest. God's responsibility is to provide all power to enable our task and to be with us always, all the way. Jesus told his disciples, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The power of the Holy Ghost was the tool which Jesus gave his followers to fulfill the responsibility of the vision of the harvest. To be effective, the method of multiplication must be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Many experience blessings of the Holy Spirit. They feel the anointing, they rejoice, and they speak in other languages. But the true evidence of the Holy Spirit is not just blessing or speaking in unknown tongues. The true evidence of the Holy Spirit is power. This power is not political power or physical power. It is spiritual power. You must not be satisfied to experience only the blessings of the Holy Spirit. You must go beyond blessings into the revelation of God's power. Directed power. Undirected power is dangerous. The same mighty flow of a waterfall, which can provide water and energy, can destroy an entire community if it is not channeled properly. The power with which Jesus endued his followers was directed power to enable them to be witnesses to the world. It was the tool they were to use to fulfill the vision. God is the source of this power. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth to God. Psalm 62, verse 11. Believers are commanded to receive this power. "Tarry ye until ye be endued with power from on high." Luke chapter 24, verse 49. The word "endued" means to be clothed with power. God wants to cover you spiritually with his power to enable you to be witnesses to the world. The purpose of power. The power of the Holy Spirit is necessary to make you an effective witness because it is the word of power. His power will take the words you speak and make them effective. His word was with power, and they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this! For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." Luke chapter 4, verses 32 and 36. His power confirms the word. "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following." Mark chapter 16, verse 20. God confirms his word with signs following. You cannot wait for miraculous signs before you begin sharing the word of God. You must start sharing his word, and then he will work with you, confirming the words you have spoken. Think of the impact on the spread of the gospel If every believer witnessing and every minister preaching had the demonstration of powerful signs confirming the word as it goes forth, here is what this power does. It brings healing. His power will be present with you to heal. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. It brings deliverance. As you enter the harvest fields of the world, the power of God will bring deliverance to suffering humanity. When he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. It provides protection. God's power protects as you labor for him. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. It verifies the gospel. To verify means to prove something. The power of the Holy Spirit proves the reality of God's word. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. John chapter 6, verse 2. It was the powerful miracles of Jesus which brought people to him. Men and women will not be drawn to the gospel through organization, denomination, or a great speaker. They will come because of demonstration of the power of a living God. It directs people to God. Paul wrote, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Paul had a good education and could have spoken with the wisdom of man. Instead, he ministered in the power of God and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. His reason? That the faith of the people should not be based on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. All power. Jesus said, "Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy." Luke chapter 10, verse 19. All power was given to Jesus. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Through the Holy Spirit, he has delegated that power to believers. As you enter the harvest field, your method is multiplication. Your tool is power. Possessing the power. In every promise of God, there are two parts, the promise and possessing the promise. Jesus promised all power. Your responsibility is to accept possession of that power. To do this, you must recognize it is for today. In John 11, when Jesus came to raise Lazarus from the dead, Martha met him and said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." John chapter 11, verse 21. Jesus told her, "Thy brother shall rise again." John chapter 11, verse 23. Martha said to him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection in the last day." John chapter 11, verse 24. Jesus answered with a statement which contains a powerful principle. "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." John chapter 11, verse 25. Martha believed her brother would have been healed in the past if Jesus had come in time. She also believed her brother could be raised in the future resurrection. But when Jesus used the words, "I am," to answer Martha, he was revealing an important truth. There is no such thing as a past or future day of miracles. In every age, there is power to meet the needs of the people. In every age, God is, "I am," sufficient to meet the need. Martha, today is the day of miracles. I am, present tense, the resurrection, and the life. There are some who say the day of miracles is past. They do not accept the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible warns of those, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. The Amplified Bible translates it that they have a form of godliness, but are strangers to the power of it. They are like the fig tree which Jesus cursed. They have the outward appearance of godliness, but there is no fruitfulness. Just as the fig tree did not have the flow of sap to produce fruit, they have no flow of the power of God and are not spiritually productive. Understand the source. The source of the power is God. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. John 15, verses 5 and 7. You are the branch. Jesus is the vine. The life comes from the vine. The branches just bear the fruit. You do not produce the fruit. You just bear it. Jesus is the one who works the works. When Jesus was questioned, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" He did not give them a course on divine healing or show them how to perform a miracle. He answered, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." John chapter 6, verse 29. He was the work of God. He was the source of the power, the miracles, and the healings. The power is not in man or anything man possesses. The fulfillment of the promise of power is in God himself and his word. Jesus is the vine which provides the support. We are the people of the branch. From the vine flows the power which will fulfill the vision. Accept the authority. When you are given the responsibility to do something, you must also have the authority to do it. Jesus gave believers the responsibility of the harvest and the authority to carry out this responsibility. But you must personally accept this authority. Jesus said all power or authority was given to him. He delegated that power or authority to you. You must accept it and use it properly to extend the gospel. Believers must also acknowledge this power in their churches. In a parable given by Jesus, he said, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Luke chapter 14, verses 21 and 23. God's plan for the church is that it be the center for demonstration of his power. In many cases, it has become the recreation center, the sewing circle, or the social center. If we do not have the power of God flowing in our churches, then the poor, the blind, and those lost in sin will exit through our doors unchanged. They will leave in the same condition in which they came. The church is composed of individuals. If the church is to experience the flow of the power of God, then its members must experience that power individually. Peter, before and after. The power of God is the tool that will change you from being an ineffective reaper to one who knows how to reap in revelation harvest. Consider the example of the Apostle Peter. We find a sleeping Peter in the greatest hour of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 14, verses 32 to 34. We find a cowardly Peter denying he even knew Jesus. Matthew chapter 26. We see a man who turned his back on the call to harvest and to be a fisher of men. He went back to his own selfish pursuits. John chapter 21. But then suddenly, there bursts on the biblical record a new Peter. The first time this man boldly speaks the gospel message, 3,000 are saved. The next time he preaches, 5,000 are added to the church. What happened to change this running, fleeing, cursing man into a powerful leader of the early church? Peter received an experience of power. It was a power that enabled him to say to a crippled man, "Look on us. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Acts chapter 3, verses 4, 6 to 7. You do not tell suffering humanity to look on us unless you know you have something to meet their need. You do not take a crippled man by the hand and lift him to his feet unless you know you have a power greater than your own. Peter had nothing in himself, but he had the power of God flowing through him. God's power puts cripples on their feet. It doesn't just help them exist in a crippled condition. The experience of power transforms fishermen like Peter into fishers of men. The expanding circle. Jesus outlined the pattern of the ever-expanding circle resulting from the powerful witness of the gospel. But ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The strategies for harvest were revealed in his word. The method was multiplication. The tool was the power of the Holy Spirit. The power was directed. It was given to enable the disciples to become witnesses. The target of the power was the nations of the world, an ever-expanding circle. Jerusalem, then Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Starting where they were, using the method of multiplication and the tool of power, the gospel would be extended to the ends of the earth. Possessing the promise. The promise is claimed often by believers. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. But remember, in each promise of God, there is a condition for possessing that promise. This promise was made to a special group of believers. It was made to those who would fulfill the vision of the harvest. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. To those who are willing to see the vision, to those who are willing to go forth with a powerful witness to the nations of the world, to them he has promised, I am with you all the way.